It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, December 15th. I'm Patricia Naft. A rare breed of sheep is being raised in the hills of western Colorado. Unlike the hundreds of thousands of white sheep found around the state, these animals are completely black, and they number fewer than 10,000 worldwide. One local farmer is working with the feds and fellow producers to ensure the breed's genetic diversity. KVNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
Come on, boss!
It's a sunny morning at Desert Weir, a 40-acre sheep farm outside of Paonia, Colorado. Uji McGuire and her husband own this farm. They raise black Welsh mountain sheep. They're smaller than the white sheep most people are used to seeing. They're solid black, and the males have curled horns.
There are less than 10,000 worldwide. There's about 1,500 in North America. We have a small population up in Canada and a slightly larger population down here in the U.S.
Farmers in the United Kingdom and Belgium also raise this rare breed. McGuire's flock is about 200 strong, and she's passionate about them.
They are the only all-black breed of sheep in the world. They are dual-purpose, bred to be both meat and wool. Being all black, at this point in history, there is no commercial market for the wool, but there is a market for hand spinning and for specialty markets.
She says in the UK, there's a stronger market for the wool and mutton.
Oh, you're the little brat that needs his shot.
McGuire has been raising black Welsh mountain sheep for 17 years. She decided to raise them because she wanted to make herself a medieval cloak.
And so rather than buying a cloak or buying fabric, I bought sheep, bought a spinning wheel, learned to spin, bought a loom, learned to weave, wove the fabric, learned to sew, discovered that my mental image of a medieval cloak was not historically accurate, and so what I ended up with was an accurate 18th century lady's cloak.
Her sheep are also a research flock for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. For the past decade, two researchers from the USDA have been coming to this farm to collect genetic materials from this flock. On this day, they came to gather ram semen.
And then we will also determine the sperm concentration.
They work for the National Animal Germplasm Program based in Fort Collins.
Germplasm, reproductive material, and that may be semen samples, frozen embryos, tissue samples, blood.
That's Scott Spiller. He's one of the program's scientists.
Our group started in 1999. We were mandated by Congress to start to back up the nation's animal, food, and fiber genetic resources.
The researchers freeze the genetic material they collect from sheep and other livestock and store it in a gene repository. Dr. Phil Purdy is an animal physiologist with the Germplasm Program. He says the McGuires took a tour of the repository during a livestock conference and quickly volunteered their flock.
They were very progressive in terms of breeding. They said, hey, we need to be able to accomplish a couple things. We want to be able to back up the Black Welsh Mountain sheep genetics in the repository so that if it ever is needed in the future in the United States, it's available.
He says not only does the program act as a gene bank in the event of a disaster, like a disease outbreak, but the genetic material is public domain. Producers and researchers can request samples for study or to increase the genetic diversity of their own animals. Black Welsh Mountain sheep were imported from the UK in the early 70s. McGuire says the founding population for the breed in the US was only 11 animals. So she's working with fellow producers across the country to try and preserve the genetic diversity of the sheep's North American population.
We've become the central place, so we're trying to get rams in of all these bloodlines to make sure that we've got them here so that they can store them in the gene bank.
McGuire sends and receives sheep from across the U.S. It's one way to ensure that her flock and others are getting new blood.
The genetic diversity that these sheep represent is something that you cannot regain. Once you lose genetic diversity, it's gone forever.
For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Roughly two dozen state lawmakers finished up freshman orientation at the Capitol last Wednesday. New legislators learned everything from how a bill gets passed to dress codes and procedures unique to the lawmaking process. Penta Birklin has more from the state Capitol.
For incoming Republican Representative Gordon Klingenschmidt of Colorado Springs, orientation is a lot to take in.
I feel like I'm drinking from a fire hose. has been so much information thrown at us, and the budget process is very complicated. You have the Joint Budget Committee, you have the Appropriations Committee, you have the Finance Committee, and then you have the Fiscal Notes staff. I'm just honored to be here, following the footsteps of all the people who have gone before us for over 150 years.
A handful of lawmakers aren't entirely new. Some are moving from the House to the Senate, and for Republican Representative J. Paul Brown of Ignacio, orientation is a refresher. He served one term, was ousted, and then won a narrow election against his Democratic opponent in November.
170 votes out of 34,000, so it was very close.
Brown says the tightness of the race won't change how he represents his constituents in Southwest Colorado. He plans to promote conservative principles such as limited government, and he wants water to be a focus of the next session that starts in January.
We sure need to think about water storage on the Front Range. Our highways are in poor condition, almost 50%, and got to really work hard on that and not wait until we have a crisis.
Lawmakers have already gone through two other orientations prior to this week. Democratic Representative Danaya Esgar of Pueblo says people have been welcoming.
Republican, Democrats, everybody seems to really be very friendly and get along with each other, and I just hope we can continue that once session starts as well.
One former lawmaker urged freshmen to bask in the wow factor of the historic building and winning election. But he also advised them to quickly get over it and down to work, noting that their time here is short, and when they leave, it's the policies that will be remembered, not the individuals. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And finally, Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper made good Friday on his promise to sue the federal government over its hotly contested move to list the Gunnison sage grouse under the Endangered Species Act. The Colorado Attorney General's office filed a notice of intent to sue with Interior Secretary Sally Jewell and Fish and Wildlife Service Director Daniel M. Ash, arguing that the agency's November 12th decision to list the bird as threatened was flawed and failed to appreciate fully the impact of aggressive state and local conservation efforts. Up next, Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.